Dallas-Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. It is the Good News Show across North Texas on KATH 910 AM, also KCPP 1140 AM, our new stations in the Fort Worth Diocese based out of Cleburne. I'm Dave Palmer. Welcome to the show. Cecil Anderson is on the other side of the glass, pushing all the buttons, producing the program. And today is, 10 days until Christmas. It's it always seems like around Halloween, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how quickly this season gets here. And then it just flies by so fast. I mean, when we lit the third candle last night in the Advent wreath, it's just like, wow. I mean, it's just like right around the corner. But how's your Advent going, Cecil?
I know it's going pretty well. I felt very strong going into this Advent. I was like, I am not going to let the busyness of this season get to me. I'm going to maintain.
Until it did, right?
Yeah, now I'm, you just said 10 days away, and I just went,
I know. Cecil and I were both at a concert. I didn't even know she was going to be there. I was with my family and she was with hers. Yesterday it was in Flower Mound, and I loved how they got up there and they said, just this is an opportunity to just relax and enjoy some music. And I hope all y'all have been able to do something that has been relaxing. I think it's just a busy time and it's exciting, and I don't know. So anyways, happy Advent, and I hope you are preparing well for Christmas and that your Advent is going so well. I almost feel weird thanking everybody for the Share-a-thon, but this is the first time that we've been on live since the Share-a-thon, because we always get the Monday and Tuesday off right afterwards, and so it does in some ways seem like the Christmas Share-a-thon is a distant memory, but it's really not. It was just 2 weeks ago, and we're very grateful for everybody who called in. I think overall we hit the nobody knows this better than Cecil, because she creates the graphics, where the thermometer bursts and all that. And so thank you. If you volunteered or donated meals or, made a donation or matching gift or, that kind of stuff, we really appreciate very much your support. And, kind of like the liturgical, the church has seasons, so does GRN. And today starts a new season in the GRN. And this is what we call the soft launch of Car Raffle. Now, Car Raffle is going to become very, very less soft in January, especially Friday, January 2nd. We're going to have the kickoff show for the Car Raffle. But I want you to be aware that you can get Car Raffle tickets even now. And we are going to be giving away on Friday morning, February 20th, during Morning Joy, a 2026 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250. Now, this is very similar to the car we gave away last year, right, Cecil?
Yes, it's the same, obviously, make, but in the same model as well, but just a year newer. So whatever the new features are on that, it's going to be really fun. You'll be seeing a lot of images about it. We'll be sending out an email at some point today as well, with some of those more like interior photos eventually as well. So a lot of very exciting things about that very snazzy car.
Yeah, so today was really the day that we started promoting it. I think Sammy, our president, may send out an email to everybody. So it's a new season. Obviously, we're going to have Advent and Christmas and New Year's, but I'm going to take some time off, and I think Cecil is as well. But on Friday morning, January 2nd at 8 o'clock Central Time, we'll come on, and I'll be hosting what we call the official, it's the non-soft, we won't call it this, but it's the not-so-soft. And that's when things get really interesting.
The grand launch.
And if you've been listening to Catholic Radio for the last, 10 or 15 years, that in January and February, we do a lot of live remote broadcasts where a lot of restaurants and businesses and parishes, we'll be at anywhere between 30 and 35, maybe 40 parishes over those 7 weeks. And so anyway, so if you want to get your tickets, just go to grnonline.com/raffle, and you can also pay it forward. If you're like, I don't know, I don't think I need to buy any tickets for myself, I don't need a Mercedes, well, somebody in your life may, you may have a college student or somebody that you could think of, and so you can pay it forward and buy tickets for them at that same email website, grnonline.com/raffle. You can text the word raffle to 345-345. And David Magianis, our business manager, sent an email out this morning saying that the first ticket was sold. Was that this morning? Yeah.
Yeah, it was this morning. And it was a North Texas person who bought it. So that's so exciting.
I actually called her.
Did you?
I went to voicemail, but I can't call everybody who buys tickets, obviously. But
yeah, that
I
might
was
be
just
going to
say, hey, guess what? You know, you're the first ticket. But
that's so exciting.
I didn't even leave a message. I just thought, oh, well, if I didn't talk to her, I didn't talk to her. But anyways, thanks to her, our mystery first ticket purchase person. And let's see. Oh, I want to mention, I just talked to Olivia Franklin, my friend and our super volunteer, about Christmas Joy Park. And just a reminder that this begins this Friday. Okay, Christmas Joy Park. I'm very excited about this. And it's the fourth annual celebration of a most special and heartwarming Christmas event and tradition. It's a four-day event beginning December 19th, which is this Friday, going through the 22nd, which I think is Monday. And it's going to be over at St. Jude Parish in Allen. And this is a family event. And just go to their website, ChristmasJoyPark.com, ChristmasJoyPark.com. And I don't know if you've been watching the weather forecast, Sissel, but, okay, my son is praying for snow. I mean, I don't think we're going to get snow for Christmas, but what we're going to have is really pleasant temperatures, like highs in the 60s and maybe lows in the 30s. And so it's not, you know, you don't want it to be like 80 or 90. So it's going to be chilly, but it's not going to be real cold. So Olivia was very excited about the weather, and it's going to hold out very well for Christmas Joy Park. And if you buy four tickets to Christmas Joy Park, you get a fifth one free. Okay. If you go to ChristmasJoyPark.com, and again, it's in Allen on the campus of St. Jude Parish in Allen, get four tickets. And you get the fifth one free. So if you have a family or you want to bring some friends with you, you can get that fifth ticket at no charge. All right. The only other thing that I want to mention, and I'm not sure if you have anything else on your radar, but you've heard of GRN Academy. And on the week of January 19th, GRN Academy begins right in the middle of car raffle season. And we have four classes, my class on the human dignity, the dignity of the human person, Julie Carrick with We Share Our Story, Dr. Ray Lopez with the Unmoved Mover, Aristotle's Glimpse of God, and then Dr. Carlo Broussard, The Protestant Challenge. If you are interested in learning more about those classes or about GRN Academy, we're going to have a live webinar this Wednesday, 2 days from now, 7 o'clock Central Time, a live webinar. And you have to register and then we'll send you the link. Right now, if you would like to participate in this and just hear what GRN Academy is all about, these are live interactive courses that we will be beginning the week of January 19th, those four courses I just mentioned, email kath@grnonline.com, and I'll be sure that you get the link for the webinar this coming Wednesday, which is the 17th, beginning at 7 p.m. Central Time. Okay. On the show today, we're going to have our typical CPLC segment. It should have been last week, but we didn't have a show on Monday because we were off. And so Tom and Ann and Sarah and Maria and Ray are all going to be with us talking about all the various things that are going on in the pro-life movement. And, you know, January is a very big month for the pro-life movement. And so they've got Jason Everett coming in January. They've got the mass. They've got their event coming up in the spring. So lots for the CPLC to tell us about. And I'm very excited here. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to introduce you to a guy who is living my dream because his name is Austin Habish, and he has started. He's the founder of something called Think Catholic, and he has started a podcast. In fact, he's well into it, called The Summa in a Year. And if you know, I love the Summa and I teach the Summa, and it's my great, great passion. But this guy is a kindred spirit because he is clearly also has a passion for the Summa Theologia, and we'll be able to tell you about how you can perhaps start the new year, or you could start tomorrow. You could start today learning the Summa two questions at a time. So I'm very excited to introduce you here in just a moment to Austin Habish with Think Catholic about his Summa in a Year. And don't forget, we'd love to have you sign up for those GRN Academy classes. It begins January 19th, and I know between now and then things are going to get very busy. So if you're interested, the classes are $149 a piece. There's a $25 registration fee, and you can be in one or all four of those classes. And so none of them conflict with each other. All right. Is there anything else, Sissel, that we need to talk about, or is that's probably enough?
I feel like we covered a lot of things, but I'll just mention, because I was in a meeting this morning a lot, because we're for the GRN, we're doing a lot of expansion on our digital end of things. So we don't often talk about it on the radio, Dave, but I just want to encourage everybody, if you are listening to us and you enjoy the content that we produce, please follow us on all of our social media platforms, because you see a lot more and some other digital exclusives that you're not going to hear on the radio, or you'll get little snippets, and it's a great way to share the faith with your friends and family. You can literally just send it to them on text message and stuff like that. So we're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, all of those platforms, TikTok even. Go ahead and follow us if you have one of those.
Yeah, now if somebody is just being introduced to GRN on the digital platforms, does it matter which one they go to?
Oh, no.
Is there one that's more?
If you're someone who likes watching little short videos, YouTube and Instagram are great. We also live stream on those platforms, but Instagram's probably one of our most popular ones. You can get little snippets of the faith, little bits from some of our shows. And again, a great little thing that you can just send to your friends and family to introduce a little bit of the faith to them. And we're at GRN Online is our handle on all of those platforms. So GRN Online is our handle. So make sure you follow us on one of those.
And I know I asked you late in the game, but are we able to play the random French guy spot at the bottom of the hour?
Yes, I will get that up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I put on the sheet, but I gave it to you like 2 minutes before the show started. So,
I see that now.
so we're going to a Seine River cruise down the Seine River in France, April 22nd through the 30th. And really want to encourage you to go. We recorded some fun spots with an actual Frenchman who lives here in North Texas. It goes to St. Anne's Capel. We call him the random French guy. And so listen to that spot. And if you feel like you would like to cruise down the Seine River with Father Sam Medley and Debbie Giorgiani and me and Sean Rice and Toya Hall and, 60 of your other favorite Catholic radio friends, then visit that. I think it's grnonline.com/cruise?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, cruise.
Yeah.
Cruise.
Yeah, just, okay, I think that's it. But you can find it on the regular website. All right, lots going on, and we're very excited about it. Again, this is the Good News Show, and I want now to introduce you to Austin Habish. He is founder of Think Catholic, an apostolate devoted to Catholic digital evangelization, and also Sent Evangelization, which equips Catholics for door-to-door missionary outreach. A former seminarian and Carthusian monk, Austin is the author of Catholic Neighborhood Evangelization and the Gospel acronym Resources Designed to Make the Proclamation of the Gospel Clear, Comprehensive, and Compelling. He resides in Denver, where he enjoys reading the Summa in a Year podcast, recording it, and praying among God's beauty in the Colorado mountains. All right. Austin Habish, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Man, you and I are kindred spirits, my friend. I read your bio, and I know you and I had a conversation on the phone a little while ago, but tell us a little bit about yourself. It sounds like a really interesting background. You were a seminarian. Have you always just had a great interest in philosophy and theology, or any kind of big conversion moment in your life, or what's your story?
Well, first of all, I don't realize how windy my story is until I hear it announced like that. Carthusian monk, door-to-door evangelization, seminary, Summa. I can see how it'd be difficult to fit all that in one personality, let's say. So my desire for philosophy and theology kind of came to me via necessity when I was having my own struggles with, is there a God, is there a soul in college? So I took my very first philosophical class my freshman year at the University of Kansas, and I actually left religion because of that philosophy class.
Oh.
That was my first taste of proving the fundamentals of the faith. Is there a God? Is there a soul? Is there immateriality in the world? When I got to seminary and we opened up the Summa, St. Thomas Aquinas, for the first time for me, I was just blown away at how rigorous and defensible the Catholic faith was from a philosophical standpoint. So that was the beginning of my love, and then it was kind of aggravated by door-to-door evangelization, especially in Denver, where you're not arguing. Like if I'm knocking doors in Kansas, I'm arguing about infant baptism or the necessity of confession if you're in a state of mortal sin, things like that. In Denver, which is very much post-Christian or pre-Christian, people are not that far yet. You're not talking about revelation, the Bible. You're talking about the nature of God and if there is a God. So knocking doors in Denver forced me now to go back to the Summa and to look at St. Thomas's proofs for God. And then I looked at Bible in a year, Catechism in a year, Rosary in a year, and I said, you know what's next? Summa in a year. And so I gave it a shot, and we're about done. And as you and I were talking previously, I also did it for my own just spiritual benefit, my own intellectual formation. And I would encourage anybody to open up the Summa, if not for evangelization, just for their own walk with God.
Yeah, yeah, so well said, and I totally understand what you're saying. And you know, you and I are kind of a rare breed in that I presume since you're doing the Summa in a year, you've read the whole thing, and you know, very few people have. And some people will just go and read an article here, or they might know that article about the five proofs, you know. Or but there's a beauty of it as a whole. And that's, you know, why on my YouTube channel, I'm doing a question a day, not quite as organized as you are, but I'm doing a question a day because I, for my own edification, I want to see how it all ties together. So for a person who is intimidated by St. Thomas Aquinas and the Summa Theologia, which I think is most people, what would you say to explain that it's not quite as intimidating as they might think? And would you agree that that's the case?
Yeah, I would. I think a lot of the difficulty comes from how the text is organized. So if you're reading a novel, you start with the beginning of the chapter and you read it in paragraph form. St. Thomas Aquinas forms each one of his articles like a debate. So people who are not used to looking at a page that's lined up like a debate can get confused. And that's why with the Summa in a Year podcast, I'm just summarizing articles and questions so people don't have to look at the text if they don't want to. But how the text is organized, as you know, is you begin with the objection. So Aquinas gives three objections to his opinion. Then he quotes an authority which backs his opinion. Then he describes his opinion. And then he goes through his solutions to the objections. And someone looking at the text might think that that's kind of counterintuitive. Why is it laid out in this kind of a maze? But I try and remind people that when I travel doing door-to-door evangelization, or for most people, if you're asked a question, you're probably, if it's a theological question, you're probably going to respond first with a quote from Scripture. Then you're going to explain what that verse means, what you mean by it, and then you're going to go back to the objections. So to find all of those laid within each article is actually more intuitive than it first looks to us.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, when I teach high school kids the Summa, I always tell them that we need to have this kind of attitude. Like, let's say we're debating with somebody who is pro-abortion. It is very helpful to know their arguments, and it doesn't mean we agree with them, but to be able to understand where they're coming from. And I think St. Thomas Aquinas had great respect for his intellectual opponents in that he would lay out their arguments sometimes better than they could, as, you know, in saying, okay, here's what you believe, and I'm going to at least respect the fact that this is what you believe, and I'll respect it so much, I'm going to put it first, right? And that's sometimes, I just think it's a great way of doing that. So, you know, you mentioned the Bible in the year and the Catechism in the year, and you also mentioned how you summarize it. So you're not reading the Summa like Father Mike Schmitz will read the Bible and then do a little commentary on it. You're just going straight summary and maybe putting in a little excerpt here and there. Is that right?
Correct. Because the intended audience for the Summa would be those who would not look at the Summa otherwise. And so those people who are intimidated to see the Summa, so your regular lay person who's not a philosopher, has no philosophical training or theological training, but has always heard about the Summa, they know there's something in there, they just can't unlock that information, that's who the podcast is for. And so I'm giving the gist of every one of those articles, explaining in layman's terms what Aquinas is saying in response to whatever question is taking up. And then if I have to, or if I think it's brief enough, then I'll quote directly. St. Thomas Aquinas. So yeah, more of a summary fashion. And there's just so much text that if I tried to read the articles in question, every episode would be an hour and a half instead of 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And so some practical necessity, but most for the audience that I'm trying to speak to specifically.
Yeah, Austin Habish is my guest, the founder of Think Catholic, and he has put together the Summa in a Year. I noticed you call it Summa Theologiae, and it's always a question that I think is funny, is people say, how do you pronounce that second word? I normally say Theologica, but I was just like, don't worry about how you pronounce it. but there are various ways that people pronounce it. But at any rate, can you talk, Austin, about the overall kind of order of the Summa? You know, there's prima pars, prima secunda, secunda secundae, tertia pars, supplement, and also maybe comment on the fact that Thomas didn't finish the Summa and why you think that was the case. Can you talk about those two things?
Yes. Well, he dies. That would be one reason to not finish the Summa, but more specifically, he has this mystical experience, and coming out of I think it was St. Nicholas's chapel, he has this mystical experience, and he steps out of the chapel and he tells his friend Renald, you know, I can no longer write. And so Friar Renald takes what's left to write. So he ends in the tertia pars, speaking about the sacrament of penance, and Father Renald finishes the rest of the sacraments, pulling from Aquinas' earlier work, which was his commentary on the sentences. But looking at the Summa as a whole, St. Thomas says at the very beginning what he's trying to do here, and he's treating whatever has to do with the Christian religion, teaching it in a way that befits beginners, which is kind of like an insult to us here in 2025.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult work for beginners, supposedly. But it's for novices, so it's for Dominicans specifically. That's why he was charged to write the thing. It's for the instruction of novices. The Summa is going to deal directly with God and then those other things as they relate to God. So the first volume is very much beginning with, does God exist? What is his nature? Then into the Trinity, then into his creatures. What are the angels? What's the hierarchy? Who is man? What is the world? You end that first volume with providence. You go into the second on man's end, which is happiness, and then how to attain that end, which is virtue and moral action. You begin with the natural virtues, then the theological virtues. Then you go into, in the tertia pars, breaking into the sacraments, penance. You go into the supplement. You're going to look at marriage. The Eucharist, actually, I think, is in the tertia pars. And so that's kind of your broadest overview of the Summa. I think most people know the Summa because of its treatment on God, its proof of the soul, its treatment on human happiness, and then maybe the virtues.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite part?
I have always been edified by the treatment on happiness, the very beginning of the second volume. I can never stop going over that. This time when I went through the Summa, I really enjoyed the very beginning. So providence, the nature of God. And nowadays, science, we seem to be vindicated. This is a small aside, but the Catholic worldview seems to be vindicated in quantum mechanics, just because the farther down you go, the more indeterminate it is. That is what Aquinas would expect, Aristotle would expect, based on their hylomorphic worldview. And it also seems like at the very bottom, there is a unity of matter. So Werner Heisenberg, he has the Nobel Prize for the creation of quantum mechanics, they say. He says that at the bottom of everything is energy. So energy in a certain form is quarks, in a certain form is leptons, and then those make up everything around us. That, again, would be exactly how Aristotle and Aquinas would have imagined the material world to work. So I was hoping the Summa in a Year would come out in a timely way as we're seeing the Catholic worldview in the sciences being vindicated by quantum mechanics.
Yeah, very nice. I love how that kind of connects with science. You know, now that you've been doing this for a while, what kind of feedback are you getting? Do you have people who have been following it all along and giving you feedback? Or what are people saying so far?
Yeah, I'll get emails. People will comment on the podcast itself, and just gratitude, a lot of gratitude from people. And I don't know if that gratitude is regarding questions that they've always wanted answers to, like providence or happiness or the soul or God, or is it a gratitude for cracking open the Summa in such a way that regular people can understand what St. Thomas is doing. But that's overall, that's the impression people have given to me in the comments. It's just gratitude.
Yeah. Austin Hamish is my guest, the founder of Think Catholic. Yeah, I do have a few other questions for you, Austin. Thank you for your time today. Where can people access the podcast? Where should they go if they want to get started?
I would recommend, if someone wants to listen to Summa in a Year, Apple Podcasts, if you have an iPhone or a Mac, then Spotify, if you don't have Apple Podcasts, but is also on YouTube. That's where I would go to listen to. And I tell people, give me a shot for those first about 14 episodes just before you get to the Trinity. And that's testing what you think of Aquinas. That's testing what you think of the voice, the narrator, myself. And then also kind of a test as to if you think you can hang in there, if you can hold on, are you grasping the concepts? Are you able to understand? If someone can survive those first 14 days, then I would say give it a shot. Give the whole year a shot. See how much of St. Thomas you're able to understand from the Summa.
Yeah, I always tell my students, it gets easier. You know, like you say, Prima Pars is the hardest part. You know, the part on simplicity and what I call the attributes of God, questions 3 uh-huh. through 11. I mean, that simplicity is probably the irony of simplicity being the most complicated, but I think it is, you know, because you're getting into all this existence equals essence equals suppositum, and it's like, what? You mentioned how he stopped and he had that mystical vision while he was, you know, writing on penance. Do you think it's significant that the last section that he wrote on before he stopped was the Eucharist? You know, like you say, a few questions on penance, but the last full thing, I always find that very, very, very interesting. What do you think about that?
I wonder if that has something to do with the mystical experience he had. I mean, I think he was celebrating the Mass, or he just completed celebrating the Mass in that chapel when he has that mystical experience. And so it may be a thank you from God. Thank you for speaking well of me, specifically in the Eucharist. And then as he's celebrating the Eucharist, he has this mystical experience, and God says, now you let your servant go in peace. You know, you're done. Ronald will pick up the rest with your former words. And that was it. But the line from him, all I've written is straw in comparison to what I've seen. There's a real beauty to that. And I think God is teaching all of us that even though the Summa is profound as far as our natural capacity, and even by grace, our capacity to understand God through this illustrious teacher, St. Thomas Aquinas, what God is in himself, as we will see in the beatific vision, is just so far beyond whatever we can imagine.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. It's like, if you just want to study God and, you know, study the Summa, it's not really enough. I mean, the important thing is having that relationship with God. You know, Austin, you mentioned about being at the University of Kansas and taking a philosophy course, and it actually turned you away from your faith. What do you think about the study of philosophy overall? You know, people going off to college and studying, you know, Nietzsche or Kant or Hegel, or do you think that's a net negative if you're not grounded in something like the Summa first? Or what should the order be?
Absolutely, it's a huge problem, because revelation and the Catholic faith is built on revelation. God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ certain things about himself and who Jesus is. Revelation, the possibility of revelation, is based on things we can know by natural reason, that God does exist, that the soul is immortal, therefore God can communicate to us, therefore there can be an afterlife. So if you cut the limbs off the possibility of revelation through a skewed, corrupted philosophy, yeah, not only do you kick people out of religion like myself, but you prevent people from entering into religion. And so it's a real battleground. And our Catholic high schools, our Catholic students, OCIA, all of these Catholic teachers, which hopefully the Summa will assist them, they need to give a real intellectual rigor to our Catholics before they step into those environments. And then they're forced to fight for common sense really.
Yeah. I'm guessing you're a fan of Eterni Patris, Leo the 13th. Yeah. I talk about that constantly. And I, you know, and just for those listening, you know, in 1879, Pope Leo the 13th wrote an encyclical called Eterni Patris, The Restoration of Christian Philosophy According to the Mind of St. Thomas Aquinas, and where he basically laid out and said, hey, this needs to be taught, seminaries, schools. And so, Austin, in your opinion, has that mandate been carried out, or do we have more work to be done?
Vatican II will even state, it's like optatum totius, I think, on the formation of priests, that dogmatic theology ought to be taught under the tutelage of St. Thomas. So even up till today, in Vatican II, it's required for our most professional authoritative teachers, which is the clergy. In my experience in seminary, it was. I can't speak for our Catholic high schools or our K-8 schools and what way they're going to pick up pieces from Aquinas and make it accessible to those grades. I would say there's a resurgence, definitely. We've got a lot of really big name writers out there, Dr. Ed Faeser, Lawrence Feingold, Alan Fimister, Catholic writers that are kind of bringing to the popular accessibility St. Thomas Aquinas. So I hope we see a renewal. I definitely, in my experience in seminary, it was there, but I can't speak for all of our Catholic institutions.
Yeah, yeah. All the more reason we need resources like what you're doing. Summa in a Year. You can find it on Apple Podcast, and also check out Think Catholic. This is founded by my guest Austin Habish. And Austin, I could talk to you for the next 3 hours, but I got to let you go. And I really appreciate what you're doing. And keep up the good work, and God bless you. And just wanting to direct everybody to go. Obviously, even though he said he's well into it, you can start with day one, right? You can go back and just start with the first one and just go on through.
Yep.
And I'd say, you know, if you want to start January 1st, that's great. It'll be very, you know, easy to keep track. But you don't have to wait until January 1st. You can start now. Just go to the Apple Podcast and look up Summa in a Year with Austin Habish. It's H-A-B-A-S-H, Austin Habish. Thanks, Austin. Great speaking with you, and God bless you for your work.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. All right. Well, that boy, I tell you, needless to say, that I enjoyed that conversation, man. I felt like I was in theological Disneyland there talking to him. I really enjoyed that. I hope you will go and check that out. And don't forget also, I mentioned a couple of times, GRN Academy. I'm teaching a class called The Dignity of the Human Person based on St. Thomas Aquinas' Treatise on Human Nature. And that starts January 19th, grnonline.com/academy. Well, we are going to come back in a moment and be filled in this studio with all of our good friends from the Catholic pro-life community, talking about the many, many awesome events and some news coming out from the CPLC. So quick break. Yeah, I think Sissel's going to play that random French guy spot first. Is that going to play first? Okay, it's in the break. Okay, it's in the break. You'll hear it. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes with Good News Show.
Celebrate 25 years of Catholic radio with the Guadalupe Radio Network. Show your love for GRN with exclusive 25th anniversary merchandise, including t-shirts, tumblers, hats, tote bags, and more. Perfect for you or as a gift for a fellow GRN listener. Every purchase you make helps us keep spreading the good news on the airwaves. Visit grnonline.com/shop today and be part of the celebration. That's grnonline.com/shop.
The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Little Elm Eye Care for their support of local Catholic radio. Little Elm Eye Care is owned by Drs. Bert and Leslie Bubella, parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. They specialize in family vision care, comprehensive eye exams, contact lenses, and the treatment of eye diseases and injuries. Little Elm Eye Care is located at 1200 East El Dorado Parkway, Suite 100, across from the Little Elm Athletic Complex. They can be reached by calling 972-292-0900 or on the web at littleelmeyecare.com.
Bonjour, ça va?
Oui, oui, croissant.
Sissel, I still think my French accent's better.
No way.
Hello there. Do you think I can give it a try?
Oh, sure.
Help celebrate 30 years of La Promesa Foundation with a special pilgrimage. From April 22nd to the 30th, you can join Father Sam Medley, Debbie Giorgiani, Sean Rice, and Dave Palmer on a Seine River cruise. Stops include Rouen, Normandy beaches, Lisieux, and of course, Paris. Visit grnonline.com to learn more.
I mean, it's all right.
Still think mine's better.
Have you ever heard an aviation emergency on the news?
You hear the pilot and ATC talking, but what do you miss? The pilot asking their aircraft dispatcher what they should say on the radio to sound cool. Aircraft dispatchers are the problem solvers working at the airline's operations center. My wife and I run Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center in Farmers Branch. Thanks to the amazing program here at the GRN, we have become Catholic and now sponsors of this great station.
We didn't plan for this, and under no circumstance did he want to keep the child. I thought I had no options, and now all I have is grief, sadness, and regret. We at Healing After Abortion understand this pain. Whether you thought it was your only option or felt pressured to make the decision, find healing on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat on January 30th through February 1st. Call us confidentially at 214-544-CARE or visit us at racheldallas.org.
Attention Medicare beneficiaries. Annual enrollment is here. Now is the chance to review your Medicare plan and make sure you're getting the coverage and benefits you need for 2026. My name is Michelle Vina, a sponsor of this station and owner of Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics with their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. For more information about Morningstar 65 and the services available, you can visit morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
We are back, and this is the CPLC segment of the Good News Show, the Catholic Pro-Life Community. We've been doing this for a long time, and it's always a great honor to have folks come in studio and talk about this very important issue. And it's not just one issue. There's a lot of things that touch on life. And I want to thank Sarah Michalski. She has a new last name now, doesn't she? Or okay, she got married. So we'll call her Sarah Michalski. Yeah. So Sarah sent me the rundown of all the things we're going to talk about today. One important thing is the website, prolifedallas.org. All the things that we're talking about can be found in this website, prolifedallas.org. This is the Catholic Pro-Life Community. Tom Rudy is the interim executive director, chief of staff, and he's not with us. But I do have Ray Bechtel, who is the events director for the CPLC, and she's going to talk about the February 21st Bishop's Dinner. This is like a no miss. You got to go to this. You know, there's four or five events, I think, in North Texas you just have to go to every year, and this is certainly one of them. Maria Michalski, Sarah's mom, is here, director of Gabriel Outreach, and she has some very, very big news to share. In fact, we're going to do that first. Ann Rudy is on the phone with us. Ann, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Dave. Welcome. Director of Parish Engagement. And she is bringing a very special speaker in, a very well-known Jason Evert, on January 12th. In fact, tomorrow I am going to record an interview with him, and we're going to play it next Monday. I'll be on vacation next Monday, but Julian Placino is going to host it. In fact, after Julian hosts the Good News Show, I may never be back. This guy is like uber talented. And then the next week, Sissel is going to be hosting it. And so they may not need me after Sissel and Julian take the show over for a couple of weeks. And so, and hang in there. I'm going to get to you, and you can feel free to jump in at any time if I know you've got a lot to talk about as well. So let's start off with the big news, from kind of bittersweet news, I think we could say. Maria Michalski, director of Gabriel Outreach, welcome to you, Maria. And what's the news?
So I will be retiring the end of the year. My husband and I have decided we want to do some traveling, and I'm getting to that point in my life where I have grandchildren. In fact, I just had two new grandchildren born this year, and I unfortunately don't get to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, so, it's important,
So yeah, I just feel it's time to step down and allow someone else to take the reins so I can enjoy my grandchildren and my husband and some travel.
How long have you been involved in the CPLC, and will you, I mean, you never totally leave. You're still going to be involved. I mean, obviously, whether you're praying or, you know, I mean, it's the one kind of thing you
will just... Yes, I will definitely still be involved in some capacity. Yeah. I haven't decided how that will look. I just figured I'll let God guide me on that one. But yes, I've been involved for 12 years. I actually started as a Gabriel Angel. And then I became a Gabriel coach, which doesn't really exist, honestly, right now. And then I just kind of worked myself into almost every position that's been there, at, you know, the GEMS coordinator, the angel coordinator, the director, and now I'm retiring.
So, you know, you said you and your husband are going to travel. Do you want to go on the Seine River with us?
So you know where I'm going? I would love to do that. But in January, we are going to Australia and New Zealand just about the month of January.
It's my
35th birthday and my 40th wedding anniversary. So I know that doesn't add up, but I was never very good at math anyway. So
yeah, well, then 3 months later, you go on another one. You know?
I would love that. Yes, I would love that.
We'll perfectly consider that. I'm excited, as much as bittersweet that you're leaving, but it's good though, because you get to go off and do stuff and travel and spend time with your family and those beautiful grandkids. But your replacement is
exciting. I found a great replacement. Her name is Jacqueline Montagiano. I hope I said that right. She is bilingual and she's young. She's almost half my age. She's got a bundle of energy, and I'm just so excited because I think she has a passion for pro-life.
Half of 35?
Exactly. And then
she's a teenager.
We have Esther, who is recent. She was hired in November, and she's our GEMS coordinator. She is also bilingual. So we went from having one person on our staff that was bilingual to now having four people on our staff that's bilingual. We definitely have a lot of Hispanic or Spanish-speaking women coming into our ministry that are needing our help. And it was difficult only having one staff member who spoke Spanish. So we decided to broaden that, and we now have four. So that's awesome.
So you're on until the end of the year.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for the 12
years.
Thank
you. I'm very excited. Sad, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
This was a ministry close to my heart. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. And feel free to jump in whenever you'd like. Again, Maria Michalski, currently Director of Gabriel Outreach, and she is retiring and handing over the reins. And so let's move on to our events director, Ray Bechtel, and she is putting together a big event coming up on Saturday, February 21st. It's the Bishop's Pro-Life Dinner, which, gosh, I love these events. I don't know that I've ever missed one in the last 15 years or so. I always enjoy doing that. What should we know about this?
Like you said, it's February 21st, 2026. We are back at the Renaissance Addison Hotel, Renaissance Dallas Addison Hotel. We're back in this big room. We can fit a lot more people than we did last year.
Is that the one that used to be the Intercontinental?
Yes.
Yeah, I still call it that. But yeah, and you've had the Christ Child Lunch in there many times before in the past.
Have.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And so anything about speaker, anything that's going on, theme?
So the theme this year, we introduced Che Bella Notte, What a Beautiful Night. So as you can tell, it's going to be Italian. We're going to do as much Italian as we can. Probably not pasta for dinner, but it's a little heavy. And then our speaker is Trent Horn.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a really cool conversation with him. I love him. I'm really excited to bring him into the fold here. We're really excited.
And, you know, Trent's really, not that I need to tell you all this, is one of the foremost speakers on the pro-life cause. And you've probably heard him on Catholic Answers Live, where the only people that can call in are the ones that disagree with him. And he never loses a debate. And he's always does it very politely and gently.
Yes.
And, of course, he's got a very deliberate and professional delivery. Does he have a particular topic that he's talking about? Or do you suggest a topic or what?
Well, so we'll change it up this year. Instead of him speaking on a topic, as he's so good at, we're gonna do kind of like a Catholic Answers Live thing, and so he'll have a conversation with one of our board members.
Okay.
So it'll be kind of an interview type thing, fireside chat with him, so we can get a little bit more intimate, and he can really speak on pro-life and how the movement's working right now.
Yeah, and other than the Italian food, the non-pasta Italian food you talked about, how else will it kind of have that Italian vibe to it?
So it'll start with our raffle. Our grand prize is a choice of trips, but the biggest option there is going to be a trip to the Vatican for two people. And then we'll have some real Italian-themed live and silent auction packages to include. And then it'll just kind of be the decor. We're going to bring in all of that. We're doing, I think something like basil will be on the table, some wine. We're talking as Italian as we can get in North Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, very good. Any other events that people should know about? I know this is the biggie, but probably nothing between now and the end of the year. This is the next big event for the CPLC, right?
Yes, and then like you've got Anne, she's got a couple good events too coming up.
Yeah, good transition. Wow, you guys, just like in practice, perfect. All right, Anne Rudy is Director of Parish Engagement. She's joining us by phone. And let's take these in order, if that's okay with you. And tell us about the Jason Everett event, January 12th, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you, Dave. I'm grateful to be here today to talk, and we are excited about the Jason Everett. And I think it's just getting out there a little bit more. We're working with the diocese to kind of help promote it amongst all the youth directors and directors of formation. It's not just for teens, but it is geared towards them. And it also is also included for parents to come with their teens. And that's pretty exciting because if a teen couldn't come, a parent could. So it's young adults and all of the above. But it's going to be held out at St. Francis of Assisi, Frisco, and they'll hold it in their main sanctuary. So they can have on the upwards of 1,200 people, and they do it in the main sanctuary, which is really a beautiful thing. Jason Everett does all of his double feature talks like this because he does offer confession and adoration. So that's part of the evening. So it's almost like a mini retreat, sort of, in a way. He does two talks, and he talks on purified, and then he'll be talking about gender and the theology of our body. That's kind of the two-part talk. So it's a time frame from 6 to 9:15 at the St. Francis of Assisi Frisco campus, January 12th, which is a Monday. And anybody can get tickets at thechastity.com purified, or even on our website, CPLC's event website, on Jason, under youth, and you can get tickets, and it's real easy to get tickets. We are working on some donors that possibly will help reduce the cost of some tickets in some parishes, and that would be parish based. So Those are some things that are forthcoming, but they've got a pretty good sign up already, and we're just really encouraging everybody to plan for their January timeframe and just come out and hear Jason Everett.
All right, that's going to be January 12th, St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. As you mentioned, that's a big, big sanctuary, so it holds 1,200 people. Beautiful, beautiful church. And chastity.com is the website, January 12th, with Jason Everett, who is really the foremost speaker on chastity, and he's just tremendous. I remember my daughters going to hear him talk a few years ago, and he's awesome. All right, and let's move on down the month of January. And of course, every year, the big event in January, marking the anniversary of that now, overturned Roe v. Wade. But what's happening January 17th?
So January 17th, we're going to have the North Texas Youth Rally, and that will be before the pro-life mass at the Guadalupe Cathedral and Dallas, and that will the Grand Salon is usually where we hold the youth rally, and that will be from 8:30 to 9:30 with some light refreshments, some fellowship, and a speaker. And then they will have the 10 a.m. pro-life mass following that.
All right, so youth rally at 8:30, mass at 10. And so there's not the march like we've had in the past, right? Is that because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, or how did that change?
I think it's had its transition, at least from my perspective and seeing what's happened in the last couple of years. There were some other groups involved with us, and one of them was Texas for Life, and Kyleen and Fort Worth and CPLC were all kind of together and making and working on that march. I honestly think that there were some financial economic things and just the logistics of getting that all together with these three organizations coming together. So they did have a rally last year, and they do want to have that rally again. They had been in the planning stages of it, and then with the unfortunate, untimely death of Kyleen Wright, I think that it didn't go. They didn't have enough planning in place for the rally. It takes quite a bit. I was just recently informed about how much work is involved, and just the setup, the permits, the cost. And so we have had some conversations with some other ecumenical parishes and churches, and we are definitely in the talking stages for planning for next year. So I do believe that the goal is to bring it back, and we just are setting ourselves up for that for this year, for next year.
All right. And Rudy, Director of Parish Engagement, well, I'm going to go back and kind of circle back and talk about some of the things we talked about at the beginning with Maria and Ray. But, being Director of Parish Engagement, I'm guessing you like to have somebody, some boots on the ground at every single parish in the Dallas Diocese that can be the liaison. Is that the case? And are you looking for folks like that? Are you in need of volunteers to help you with your work?
We always want volunteers. In fact, that's what a Respect Life leader is inside of a parish. They are a volunteer. We have over 38 about 65 point of contacts. So about 40 of those are actually assigned Respect Life leaders in parishes. So they are assigned by a pastor, because it is an official ministry of the parish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, and that person is a volunteer. It's not usually a staff member or anything like that. And then from there, they find other people within that parish that they build that ministry with. And those are more volunteers. So that's kind of how the parish life works. And what I do with my team is we actually provide tools to help bring the message of life, culture of life from all stages of life into the ordinary people in the ordinary pew that are there, and bring that message of life. And that could be anything from a spiritual adoption parish-wide program to, we do baby banks that raises the awareness. We also do a collection of donations for moms in need. And we also have, obviously have different events that we invite people to. We do speakers. We'll have people come in and do speaking at certain groups, moms groups, youth groups. So we bring that message of life, and for every parish, there's a different setup. And every parish has different needs. So, and a different pastor. So it's really beautiful the way that it all comes together and how many people come forward and do so much in their parishes. And I'll give a shout out to one great Respect Life leader. Her name is Marianne Harmon. And we just had our leader meeting last week. And here's a person who's looking ahead, and she's attending another parish in their massive infant loss because she just wanted to see how they did it so she can bring that to her parish.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that a Respect Life leader will be doing, and they'll help work with other ministries, other youth ministries, and bring more life-giving messages to them. And the baby bank money helps a lot of the parishes go to marches. They go and do pro-life events, or they go and they do volunteer opportunities in the summer. So, or give money to the maternity homes. There's a lot of people who support their maternity homes. So it really is a very full and effective program that we do here, and how we guide and direct and work with all of the parishes.
All right,
we always are looking for more. So thank you.
Yeah, same with us. We call them ambassadors, and we love our ambassadors, and we need one at every parish. And so if you want to help out the CPLC, prolifedallas.org, if you want to be a Catholic Radio ambassador, sometimes it might be the same person helping both groups, but we are in need of those as well at all the parishes, Dallas and Fort Worth Diocese. So, Ann, thanks so much for all that information. I want to close out our remaining time now, coming back to Maria Michelski, who is the outgoing in more than one ways, director of Gabriel Outreach. She mentioned at the top of the segment that she's going to be retiring at the end of this month to spend more time with her husband and the grandkids and kids. And also we have Ray Bechtel, who is the events director. And so Ray, let's start with you, and then I'll close out with Maria And can you reiterate or anything else that you might want to mention about the event on Saturday, February 21st, the Bishop's Annual Bishop's Dinner for benefiting CPLC? Maybe remind everybody the highlights of that.
Yeah. So again, it's February 21st. Tickets are already on sale if you visit our website, prolifedallas.org/BD2026. It takes you right to our ticket page. And then... yeah, join us for a really great night. And we always need volunteers too. So I'm looking for those. You can email me, Ray, or rbechtel@prolifedallas.org. It's going to be a great night.
All right. Saturday, February 21st. And let's see there. And then don't forget Jason Everett on January 12th at St. Francis of Assisi mm-hmm. Parish in Frisco. And let's finish out. Hopefully, I don't know if you'll be back in with other interviews, Maria, but this is kind of bittersweet because Maria Michalski is going to be retiring and some others will be taking her place. But maybe you can, perhaps for the last time, talk about some of the blessings that you have seen through the Gabriel Out program and the lives that are touched, the lives saved, and these women whose lives are turned around. What are some of your biggest takeaways from these 12 years?
That's going to take more than 3 minutes, but okay.
You got 3 minutes.
I'm just going to say the biggest blessing I've received as a part of being of this ministry is just obviously the women that I serve.
Yeah.
No bigger reward than to see where they were when they first came to us and how far they've come once they have completed, let's say, the GEMS program. The growth is just awesome. I feel like almost every one of those women are my children in some way, and I've watched them grow and mature as they've been in our program, learning skills on how to be a better parent, life skills, and of course, just how their faith has grown. Because a lot of them, when they come to us, don't really have a strong faith life. And as they're, you know, more and more into our program, I can see that coming out in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for me personally, a very big reward. And I feel so blessed to be a part of their journey in that and having to contribute in some way.
Yeah. And can you briefly talk about Bloom's entry into CPLC umbrella, so
sure,
to speak,
sure.
And how those the two groups are kind of collaborating
together?
Yeah, that
to me was the perfect marriage. You know, Bloom, now that they are under our roof in our office space, we get to see women very early on when they suspect they're pregnant and they are wanting a pregnancy test and then to confirm. And they actually get to see their babies in their wombs and confirm that, hey, that's a live human being there.
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing that service by offering them material assistance, financial assistance, spiritual guidance, being given an angel, you know, participating in our GEMS program and learning new life skills and parenting skills. And then, of course, you know, commencing with ending with the GEMS graduation, which we had at the Christ Child Luncheon.
Yeah.
And, you know, those women get to share their stories, and they're all very touching stories. They each have their own challenges that they were facing when they entered our program. And yeah, so it's just, for me, it's very rewarding to see that growth.
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you so much for the 12 years that you've dedicated to the CPLC, and hope you enjoy the next couple of weeks as you prepare for retirement and then beyond.
And
all
I'll
the,
be back in some capacity. Who knows? I might be an angel or teach a class or something.
Yeah.
I don't completely think I'm
sure
going to be gone.
I'm sure that door remains open.
Yes.
And Ray, thanks also for all the information about the January 21st event. No, February 21st. I'm getting all my dates mixed up. February 21st is the Bishop's Dinner. And so it's all at prolifedallas.org. Go to that website. And again, thanks Ann Rudy, Director of Parish Engagement, and Tom and Sarah, those who were not able to be with us. And don't forget, as I mentioned at the very top of the show, the soft launch of the car raffle begins today. And if you want to be one of the first to get car raffle tickets for a chance to win that GLB 250 Mercedes-Benz on February 20th, wow, that's going to be the day before your event, isn't it? Wow, you can drive the Mercedes to the event.
Oh, wow.
And so
I want to buy my ticket.
Yeah, go. Okay, go to grnonline.com/raffle. $25 each or $5 for $100. And, of course, we'll be going out and about all the parishes beginning in January. So, wow, we covered a lot of ground. Thanks to Cecil for all her great work. And if you see these graphics in your bulletin and on Flash, stock notes and all that, know that it's all the work of Cecil Anderson. She's really good at doing all these graphics. And until next week, when Julian will be hosting. Yeah, Julian Placino, who's like uber talented. He's going to have a great show next week, including the interview that I'm going to do with Jason Everett. He's going to insert that in, I think, in the first part. So you can hear a little bit of my voice and then a lot of Julian. And then the following week, Cecil is going to host the program. So keep on listening, and I will see you personally, well, at least on the radio, at the beginning of January when I get back and dust myself off from Christmas vacation. God bless you, and thank you so much for your support. Of the GRN and the CPLC. God bless.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.
God, for putting that sign in my life and letting me know that it is Him and it's okay.
The Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.